weekends and afternoon services at our church. We do it only once a month, but I've been preaching through 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, and just taking it a little bit at a time. So that's what I want to do for you this afternoon. When I heard that you had a lot of children, I knew what I wanted to preach on. But now as I'm looking at you, I don't see a lot of young faces. Is there... There's someone back there. Well, we'll just do what we can. I wanted to talk about love is not rude. Love is not rude. So just follow along as I read a little bit of 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. That's where we'll stop. A few points as we just get going. The Paul's point in 1 Corinthians 13 is not, first of all, saying this is what you should be doing. He's not saying do this or be this. Obviously, that's a part of the application. But he's telling them why love is the greatest gift. It's the greatest spiritual gift that a church could possess. The Christian life is not, and it, as you read 1 Corinthians in its full context, the Christian life is not about a flashy show of spiritual gifts. That seems to be what the church in Corinth was all about. But rather, it is about love. It's about patience with each other, kindness with each other, to each other. It's love in action. And what Paul is saying is that if you have Christian love in your heart, if God has put that love in you, given you that gift, then this is actually the kind of life that you live. You actually do the Christian life. So faith and hope and love are the first and last, so to speak, of all the Christian virtues. Faith begins the Christian life. We live the whole Christian life in hope. But love is the greatest of all of them, because love is part. And love powers hope. Love always hopes. And faith without love is a dead thing. You can have the greatest kind of faith that says to mountains, move, and the mountains actually get up and move for you. You could have that level, next level of faith, and if you don't have love, then you are nothing. So there's no greater thing that a Christian can do than to love God with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love his neighbor as himself. Now, that's the first thing that I just kind of want to get you going on. This is not what Paul is saying, you need to do this. He's saying this is what you will do if you have the love of God in your heart. Another thing, if you reverse engineer this passage, look at it, you know, turn the telescope around and look at it the opposite way, sort of rewind it, so to speak, it tells us something extremely profound. The reason I'm not patient with people, the reason I'm not kind to people, is because I have a love problem. I have a deficiency of love in my heart for that person, with those people. When I'm impatient and when I'm envious and when I'm unkind, that's not loving. That's true. But it's true because I have a love problem to begin with. I'm impatient with my husband, not because I'm tired or because of anything like that. Those are the circumstances, and maybe those are some contributing factors. But bottom line, what Paul is saying is the reason I'm impatient with my wife or with my husband is because I don't love them the way I should. I don't have love for them in my heart like I should. Love is the gasoline, the fuel, the driving power in every Christian virtue. And so if my patience car is not going with my children, it's because I have a love deficiency, a love problem. If I loved better, I would do all the rest better. Now, the last thing I want to say before we get into love is not rude, is this section of 1 Corinthians is not just pretty words. It's not just beautiful words. Unbelievers probably routinely speak about they read 1 Corinthians 13 in their weddings. They might put it on their walls because it's beautiful poetry. But that's not Paul's point. It is beautiful. It is elegant. It's probably beautiful and elegant in any language. But that's not what he is trying to do. He was not making a love poem for us to ooh and ah over. My grandma was a junior high English teacher, and they were doing a section on poetry. And so one of the assignments was, you need to go home and write a poem and turn it in, and I'll grade it. And so one of her students, a young lady, thought she was pretty clever, and she had a really good idea, and maybe you know what she did. She wrote a poem called Love. And does anyone want to guess how it began? So love is patient. Love is kind. It was the NIV version. And that's how she went on. That's how she started. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it ended with, the poem ended with, but the greatest of these is love. It's pretty smart. It's pretty good poetry. And my grandma received it. And that young lady, as bright and brilliant as she is, she got an F on that because my grandma was like, are you kidding me? I was born at night. I wasn't born last night. So 1 Corinthians 13, these are glorious words, but they are practical. They're practical. They go to work not in a Rolls Royce. They go to work in our lives, you know, with a Dodge Ram. They pull up to the work site of our life. There's dirt. There's boards. It's rugged. That's 1 Corinthians 13. These are practical words. And that's what we really need. We need doctrine. We need truth. We need experience to live the Christian life. And we need practical teaching. And today is very practical. Love is not rude. Love is not rude. So we talked about Paul's poetry and how good it was. I have a poem of my own that I want to give you. It's entitled Rude. And here it goes. It is rude to interrupt. It is rude to call names. Rudeness is noisy in a movie theater. It doesn't put away its shopping cart. It dominates the conversation. It litters. It doesn't use its turn signal. It cuts you off while you're driving. It drives too slow in the passing lane. It chews with its mouth open. It talks with its mouth full. It reaches across another person's plate. It slurps loudly. It doesn't hold doors. It lets the dog bark all night. It lets the dog jump on guests. Parks its monster truck in four spots. Texts at the table. Wears PJs to Walmart. It doesn't replace the toilet paper when it's empty. Rude lets the children scream and throw fits in public. It screams at the children in public. It makes a public spectacle of itself. It doesn't say thank you. It doesn't say please. It doesn't say you're welcome. It uses foul language in public. It doesn't listen. It delights in grossness. It always hurts, always teases, always ignores. Rudeness is never acceptable. Now, that poem is not going to win any prizes. I know that. But I hope you get the point. Love is the exact opposite of being rude. Love wouldn't do any of those things, but that's what rude people do. Love and rudeness are exact opposites. And now, I'm not saying that love is never offensive, never abrasive, never confrontational. That is not the point at all. Nowadays, everyone has these big sensitive feet and everyone's getting their toes stepped on all the time, and you can't say or do anything without being without offending anyone. That is not the point. Love is not afraid to challenge people. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about civil society. I'm talking about manners, about etiquette. Not stuffy manners, not etiquette for the sake of etiquette, but decency and consideration. Rude people think they are the only ones. They think they're the only ones. It's their world, and we're just living in it. We're just stumbling through it. We don't really matter. But love says, hey, I see you. You're there. You're here. You're with me. And you're a person with feelings and thoughts. You're a person that's living in this world with me. We're in this together. And so love is considerate. It's considerate. And what I mean by that is love considers that there's other people in this world with us. That my husband, my wife, my parents, my children, they're other people with their own feelings and thoughts and desires and loves. And they're here with me. So love is considerate. So what does love do? Well, here we go again. Love doesn't interrupt. It doesn't call names. It isn't noisy in a movie theater. It puts away its shopping cart. Love doesn't dominate the conversation. Love doesn't litter. It uses its turn signal. It doesn't cut you off driving. It doesn't drive too slow in the passing lane. Love chews with its mouth closed. Love doesn't talk with its mouth full. It doesn't reach across another person's plate. It doesn't slurp loudly. There's a couple of children here. And like all those table manners, those aren't just your parents coming up with rules that are silly. It's about being considerate. Because believe it or not, no one wants to see your food half-chewed in your mouth. It's gross. And so it's not loving to do it. Love holds doors. It doesn't text at the table. Love wears PJs at home, and it wears considerate, respectable clothing at Walmart. It replaces the toilet paper after it's empty. And you say, that's just such a little thing. Yeah, it is, but it's being considerate. It's thinking, oh, there's someone coming in after me. It's treating others how you want to be treated. And so love doesn't let its children scream in public. Doesn't let them throw fits in public. It doesn't scream at the children in public. It doesn't make a public spectacle of itself. Love says thank you and please and you're welcome. It doesn't use foul language in public or anywhere else in private. Love listens, and it's not just sitting there waiting to respond. Maybe you're that kind of person. Or maybe you know that kind of person. Where you're talking or they're talking, and you're just waiting to put in your two cents. Love isn't that way. Love is polite. It's considerate. Love listens. Now, three quick lessons and then we're done. We don't have a lot of children here, but children, manners matter. And so parents, manners matter. All those little things that your parents are trying to teach you, all those times that your mom or dad, or you're saying to your kids, what do you say? And chew with your mouth closed and all those sorts of things. All of that matters. And it matters because it's about love. It matters because it's about love. They aren't actually silly rules. At least most of them. Now, maybe some of them are, but it's about treating people the way you want to be treated. It's about treating people in a kind and considerate way. And that's what love does. And it's about creating a society where we can all live and get along with each other. That's what love does. And so when you go to McDonald's, that person on the other side who's taking your order, you want them to say, oh, hey, you're here. And that you want them to have a smile and be glad to see you. You don't want to feel like you're imposing on their fabulous restaurant. You don't want that person to ignore you. You want to be engaged. So do you want, when you go to McDonald's, do you want to clean off someone else's Happy Meal box and their little ketchup packets and their garbage? Do you want to have to do that before you eat? Well, don't do it to them. Do you want to hear that family over there carrying on loudly and swearing? No. Well, I hope and I'm sure you don't do that. It's inconsiderate. It's not thinking about how other people feel or what it's like for them. And see, when you're rude, you don't make anyone's life better. And it makes it harder. It makes living just more unpleasant. And life is hard enough without other people making it even more difficult. It's hard enough without other people making it unpleasant. And so, not picking up after yourself, leaving your dishes and your trash around, isn't making anyone's life better. It's making it worse. And so, that's the point. These manners, this consideration, it has a deeper religious significance. It's about, do you love your brother? Do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? Are you living with the fear of God? God is here. God is at this McDonald's. God is at this table. God is here with me. Am I going to love them or not? Well, love is not rude. God thought it was important enough to put that in His book. And we need to embrace that. Love is not rude. Now, secondly, adults, the rudeness sometimes found in children, that might be because they need to learn manners. They need to learn what it means to be considerate. And so you have to teach them those things. But I'm not going to go talk about that. My point is that the rudeness sometimes found in children certainly shouldn't be found in you. Yeah, they need to learn, and they need to grow, and they need to learn to think about that, hey, there's other people. Like, children can be very self-absorbed, and they don't recognize that, and so we need to teach them that. But the rudeness that is found in children because of their age should certainly not be found in you. We might overlook some of it because it's in children, but they still need to learn. They still need to grow. But adults should know better. You've lived in this world long enough. You've lived in this world long enough to know that this isn't your world. You're not the only one. You're not the only one with feelings or thoughts or desires. We have to share it and live with other people. And so what I'm saying is take your religion to Walmart. Take your religion with you while you're driving. Take your religion to the movies and in the bathroom and in the kitchen here at the church. Love never takes a minute off. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, you'll never find a time where love doesn't have to do something. Love never takes a minute off. Love never goes on vacation. Love is always considerate. So that's the second thing. So those manners are important. Number two, parents, we need to teach them, but we certainly need to model them for our children. And yeah, they might need to grow in it, but we should already have this down. Number three, do you want to be an attractive Christian? Then be a polite Christian. Polite, considerate Christians are attractive. They make the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive. Something that people want to know more about. So if you're kind and friendly and polite with someone, that's going to draw them to you and to Jesus. And so what does that look like in real life? What does that look like in real life? Well, Hudson Taylor loved Jesus Christ and he loved people. And Taylor went to China to be a missionary. And pretty soon he realized that he was going to, if he was going to reach the Chinese for Jesus, he needed to become as far as he was able to. He needed to become Chinese. And that meant several very practical things for him. At a minimum, it meant he had to begin learning their language. That's considerate, right? I'm going to speak in such a way that you understand because you have feelings and you have thoughts. So I'm going to meet that. So at minimum, he needed to learn their language. But it also meant as much as possible, he would live the way that they lived. And so it meant, I'm going to go to the barbershop and I'm going to get a new haircut. And he got rid of his native British clothing and he dressed like a Chinese man. He grew a Chinese hairstyle. He began using chopsticks. His wife began walking behind him instead of arm in arm like they were supposed to. Now they could have, you know, I think about that. He could have said, well, that's not a very good practice. Then I need to be antisocial here and I need to set an example and take a stand because my wife, I love her and all that. He could have said that and made that argument, but he would have just been rude to the Chinese people. He would have been unnecessarily offensive. And so she began to walk behind him as Chinese people did at the time. Now the other missionaries criticized him. Some Christians are so good at criticizing, and they criticized him. But he was convinced that love is considerate. It thinks about other people. It's not rude. And you see, it's not about what I think all the time. Rudeness says, I'm the only one. It's about me. It's about what I want to do. It's about what makes me happy in this moment. I'm the only one in this whole wide world. But love thinks about others. Thinks about others. And that's attractive. And just to wrap this up, that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He came to us. He didn't make us come to him. He didn't make us take on divinity somehow or other, as if that was possible. He became one of us. And he brought us in. He didn't go around while he was on earth saying, who cares about what these little people think? They just need to get in step with what I'm doing. No, in every way, he became like one of us. And so, he wore sandals. And he lounged to eat. Because that's how it was done. And so he loved us. He loved humanity. And he thought about, how can I reach them? How can I talk to them in such a way that they'll understand? And in the most profound way, he was always considerate. He was in heaven with all glory. He was in heaven with all the perks of divinity. He had nothing. He was lacking nothing that he needed from us. But yet he was considerate. And he thought about us. And so he came to us. And he took on our form and our manners. And he met us. And he talked with us in a way that we could understand. Now, again, Jesus was not a milquetoast pushover. He wasn't that. But he was never rude either. He wasn't a milquetoast pushover. He could be very confrontational, but he was never rude. So go and do the same. That's what he did for you. Go and do the same. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for his life for us, that he came and he met us where we are. And And now He puts His Spirit within us, the Spirit of love and wisdom. And Holy Spirit, You are teaching us to be thoughtful of others, to not be rude, but to live in such a way that's attractive to other people and is pleasing to God. And we want to do that more, to not be so bent in on ourselves, so self-absorbed, that we would be inconsiderate of others. Help us to have an outward bent, a loving, generous, gracious, considerate mindset towards each other, towards all the people in our lives, that we might be pleasing to You. I pray this all in Jesus' name, for His glory. Amen.